Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up at 4:46, also next hour at 16 and 46 after the hour, updates on the opening round of the PGA Championship from San Francisco. Also coming your way tonight, 5:55 for the pregame, first pitch around 6:10, the Braves taking on the Blue Jays, game three of this three-game series. But right now, a chance to talk to Doug Segrist out of Birmingham, some college football discussions, SEC style. Doug Segrist, co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340. Hope you're having a great week, Doug, and as always, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Ballpark. Good to be here.
You know, today we get some news, and this is usually that time of year when you get this news. It just gets those, you know, you get the SEC media days, and you get a little bit of a break, and then you get the day, the unveiling of the preseason coaches poll. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, will this change, and will they do a do-over if we're not talking college football in September? If all of a sudden this switches to January, early February, will they do it all over again? But with that said, you know, there's six teams from the SEC amongst the 13 teams, 1 through 13. But Alabama at number 3, right behind Clemson, Ohio State. Your thoughts when you saw this list?
Wasn't surprised about it. You know, my first thought is Clemson and Ohio State are the overwhelming favorites because of what they've got back, because quarterback play, and in part because their conferences, you know, Big Ten is much better than the ACC. But if you look around the Big Ten this year, who's going to challenge Ohio State? Michigan hadn't been up to it. Penn State may take a step back. They lost their best players opting out. You look at the ACC, and of course it's a one-man band. So those two were obvious. You know, when I look at the SEC, I think there are four national title contenders: Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and Florida. I think Georgia may be a little overrated at the start, at least based on their offense. I think it's, you know, they've got to give a new quarterback, whoever it is, time to take over this attack. And, you know, it's not going to happen week one. So, I thought it was a pretty good list, you know, but here's about the do-over. I think we're getting to the point where a winter season's out of the question. You know, if you get to the point where you kick off opening week, you know, they're not going to suspend the season and start over. That's, you know, I've got nothing to base that on just except gut, and we're getting close to the start of the season. You know, I just want a season that's finished, that's completed, that goes the full route, and I hope this one works out.
That's why I wish the Big Ten had just paused and paid attention and maybe had conversations with the other Power Five conferences. I love what the SEC is trying to do by waiting to the last part of September, and I really wish the other conferences had paid attention and had that conversation. To me, the Big Ten kind of backed themselves against the wall with their decision, almost like they were trying to be like leaders. Like, let's just make the announcement now and show everybody we're the leaders of college football. Forget SEC. Forget Big 12. You know, it's us. And then I just hope it doesn't backfire on them.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, they were trying to be out front and kind of set the tone. And you know, it looks like the other four power conferences to some degree are kind of following. But at the same time, a real leadership is one that gets all people on board. And, you know, the Big Ten and Pac-12 kind of set themselves off right from the start, and it just kind of fell apart. I think the SEC obviously acted independently because the SEC left slots open for non-conference games, and the SEC said no can do. I still think the SEC's plan is the best, a later start. And, you know, the original fear was that the second wave would come, and that's when you get wiped out. Well, we haven't conquered the first wave. So the SEC is the only league out there right now that's giving campuses a chance to really adjust and see if there are major outbreaks before you start this. Now, at the same time, it could be argued that the SEC is in a position where they have to do this because they've got more hotspots. But I still think this is the most thought-out plan so far.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, every state that has an SEC team, every state is trending in the wrong direction right now.
Right, right.
And that's the sad part. Here we are in August.
Go ahead.
I mean, it's sad though, Doug. There, here we are, the you know, first week of August, and we're still saying that.
Well, because there's no plan. Okay, let's look at what the NBA is doing. How many positive tests has the NBA had since they went into the bubble? Zero. What did the NBA do? They isolated. They traced. They tested. It's kind of what we were supposed to do from the very start, and we refused to do. I mean, the NBA's kind of taken the CDC plan, and they've gone with it. And guess what? It's working, you know, but we're kind of on our own, you know, state by state, community by community.
I mean, I'm looking at the what could have been for this year, and I'm big into college football history, and I often play this game and look back 3 decades ago, for example, and figure out what if we'd had the BCS back then before we got the first BCS contest in 98? What if we had the four-team college football playoff series and go back 40, 50 years ago and see how that would have played out? Because I was looking at what this season could have been for, say, Tennessee, for example. Now that we've got the preseason poll, in the month of September, Tennessee was going to play the preseason number 6 Oklahoma team and the preseason number 8 team in the Florida Gators in the month of September. Alabama was going to start the season with 17th-ranked USC, and then for their first conference game, take on the 4th-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. We'll never have that now, and that's the disappointing part for me.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. This could have been a magical year, and it's going to be a different year. I still think there could be some form of magic. You know, I think right now we just see what transpires. I do like the 10 SEC games. I actually think it's going to be the toughest schedule any SEC team's ever played. So we'll see how it goes. You know, I kind of fluctuate. You know, one day I'm very confident. One day I just don't think it's going to happen. Right now, I think, you know, it's full speed ahead, and there's a good chance it will happen.
How about
it's getting to the finish line that worries me.
How about the fact that 4 of the 7 teams from the SEC West are ranked in the top 13 teams in the nation?
Not surprising. You know, again, any one of the 4 could win it, with the right breaks. And there may be more breaks this year. You usually talk about injuries. Well, you could lose, you know, your entire offensive line for 2 weeks or 10 days at least. That's going to have an impact, you know. I still don't know enough about how they're going to slide games around, what they're going to do. Will they postpone? What's the, you know, what is kind of the max point? You know, do you have to have 10 positive tests to postpone a game, or is that a forfeit? You know, still a lot we don't know.
Absolutely. Anything else that really stood out as far as this top 25 list? Couple of teams from the group of 5. Headed up by Central Florida, UCF in the 21st position, and ranked 22nd in the country, Cincinnati on this coach's poll.
No surprises there. I mean, people think Central Florida, this may be the best team they've had yet. So you think what they've done the last 5 years, that's incredible. I think Oklahoma may be getting the benefit of the doubt. Again, until they start playing defense, they're going to replace a starting quarterback for the 4th straight year. The last 3 years have been magical. As good as Lincoln Riley has been, you know, at some point the Magic's got to take a season off. I look down there, you know, Oregon is the team, probably of all the Pac-12 teams, they're punished the most because they were going to get to play Ohio State early on, and now they'll play just a Pac-12 schedule. And we really don't know how good they can be unless they get to the playoffs.
Hey, who do you believe in the next I've got 60 seconds, as far as top wide receivers in the SEC, just from a preseason perspective, is it Alabama or is it LSU?
I would go LSU just in terms of more proven depth at this point, because we know Alabama's 2 main guys, and the big question is who steps up. Now, there are people that watch workouts and watch recruiting that tell you, the depth at Alabama is just absolutely incredible, and they're not going to miss beat this year. But my point there is we got to see it on the field. And LSU has developed so much the last few years. They've got the number one guy back, and right now I would give them a nod just because of more known factors.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase leads that LSU group, and not that Alabama doesn't have solid receivers in Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, but you're right, who's going to be number three? Hey, as always, we appreciate you. I hope you have an incredible weekend, and as always, stay safe for you and your family, and we look forward to talking more college football with you again next week.
Thank you, Ballpark. Be careful.
Hey, appreciate that. Doug Segrist, if you're